I need somebody help, not just anybody help. You know I need someone help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way.
Up the rice in the church where a wedding is being lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? Father Mackenzie, writing the words of a sermon that no one will hear. No one comes near, look at him working, darning his socks in the night when there's nobody there. What does he care? All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? Died in the church and was buried along with her name. Nobody came, Father Mackenzie, wiping the dirt from his hands as he walks from the grave. No one was saved, all the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong?
Hello and welcome to Communities Live here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. I'm Oliver Dixon.
I'm Bradley Middleton.
How are you, Brad? We didn't see you last week because you were in sunny Scarbados.
I was, yeah.
How was it?
It was fun. Well, much needed.
Has it changed much now? Because I've heard it's on the up, Scarborough.
I've not really been since I were like a little kid, so it's like I can't remember much from then. But for now, as an adult, it seems like quite a nice place to be to have a holiday.
Train journey as well, direct from Sheffield Station, yes. Which always helps.
Almost 3 hours, but yeah.
At least you don't have to change and wait even longer, I suppose.
It's all right. I like trains anyway, so it's all right.
There's nothing wrong with a train journey,
yeah.
As long as it's on time and everything.
Yeah.
No delays. We thought we'd start the show off with a triple helping of the Beatles.
Yeah.
Help turns 61 today, playing the song from the same title of the album first, and then Revolver turning 60 just yesterday.
Oh, nice.
60 years old. We have that on CD at home.
Oh, really?
I remember in school, this was infant school, so this is going back a while now, to when I was about 6 or 7 years old. Mm. I actually brought that in because we were learning about the Beatles.
So was I as well.
It was like a part of the curriculum at that age. You learn about all the decent bands, and Beatles is... comes up all the time, doesn't it? We bought that in. We've got many CDs of the Beatles, and we always like treasure them as well.
Especially.
So double helping of Revolver with Here, There and Everywhere and Eleanor Rigby. Fun fact about Eleanor Rigby, it was one of the only few Beatles songs, if not the only one, where the Beatles never played any of the instruments on the song.
Oh, really? It's all like violins and...
And sort of orchestra. The Beatles did not play one piece of instruments.
Yeah.
With just Paul McCartney providing the vocals on the track. But 60 years since that album, and it's easily recognisable if you look at the album. It's the big white one with all the faces on. That's basic way of describing it.
Yeah.
And so nice triple helping of the Beatles just to kick off the show on this Thursday afternoon, which the sun's just come out, actually.
Yeah, luckily, yeah.
It was actually spitting when I left my house, so I ran back in, got my coat. I didn't need it in the end.
Yeah, it went for me as well a little bit in Hillsborough.
Yeah, I think it wasn't forecast for rain, so that was Mother Nature's unplanned little turbulence.
Yeah, weather forecasts aren't always completely accurate.
Yeah, never... If you check the weather apps, even the Met Office gets it wrong sometimes.
Yeah.
Just you have to play it by ear with the weather over in the UK, don't you? So getting into the show now, we have an interview to play.
We do, yeah.
Our amazing Chris Sinelli talked to a drummer who you may know the name of, Dave Barbarossa. who was in Republica, and he was also in Adam and the Ants in their early days before they really took off.
Mm.
He wasn't in any of their number one songs, such as Stand and Deliver, unfortunately, that was after. But he found success with Republica, and he's got his own project upcoming, which he will tell you about in just a second, because we are going to play it. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this interview by Olivier Christinelli.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Communities Live here at Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. Christinelli here, and we have legendary drummer here, Dave Barbarossa. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Chris.
Well, thank you for joining me today. How is it on your side?
Well, as we were saying, it's pretty warm and pretty unnatural, but like, I'm not going to moan because it will be winter, you know, in the blink of an eye. So it's good. It's good.
It does. It goes fast. I mean, it's I can't believe how fast it's gone this year. It's absolutely unreal. But yeah, it's definitely 29 degrees around here on my side. And I mean, it's absolutely roasted here.
Unreal, isn't it? Unreal.
It is. I mean, I want to talk to you a bit about your background. So, I mean, you worked with legends like Adam and the Ants, Bow Wow Wow, and Republica. I mean, tell us a bit more about that.
Well, I mean, I started with the original Ants, as we were called then, back in 1977 in the punk rock scene in London. And it was an incredible time, an explosive, creative time, great bands, great shows. And Adam was a great mentor for me as a young bloke. We got really, really popular on a sort of cult level. And we made an album, Dirk Wears White Socks, and a few singles, Xerox and Young Parisians, and it, on we went. And it was just a great time until Adam asked Malcolm McLaren to produce a video for him, and Malcolm came to the rehearsal room, and it transpires that, you know, he couldn't really do anything for Adam because he was already had his image, had his direction, had his dreams and his horizon. Whereas the three of us, the Ants, we were very malleable and in awe of Malcolm. Well, Adam was as well. And so he kind of cleverly separated us. And from there, we formed Bow Wow Wow and went on that journey. And then Bow Wow Wow fell to pieces with the usual way bands do. And then I was on the dole doing labour in a bit of cabin. And then, what happened then? I got Beats International with Norman Cook, with Fatboy Slim. I joined him for a couple of years. That was playing, doing his videos and doing his shows with the DJs. And then Republica after that, I think. Or was there Chicane before that? I can't remember. I've been kicked out of so many good bands, I can't remember.
And I want to ask you as well, Dave, I mean, who are your main influences? And a second part to this question is, if there's anybody that you could work with in the near future, who would it be and why?
Well, it would have been David Bowie, but I'd love to work with like someone like PJ Harvey, who is a great, great artist. But I'm happy working on my own now. I've got my own solo thing, Barbarossa Beat, which is I go on stage with a DJ and jam out my patterns and beats and stuff. And I'm really happy doing that as opposed to putting a band together around my beats where I kind of have to compromise for song arrangements and all the other sort of traditional things in music. With this, I'm set free and I'm having a great time. It's doing really good. As for influences, you asked, I'm not much of a muso. I'm more of a fan.
Sure.
So I like... grew up listening to my dad's Latin America music and then the glam rock sound and the soul sound of the late 70s, early 80s. And so, I mean, there are brilliant drummers out there that I could mention, but I'm kind of inspired by, you know, maybe a walk down through the park to Lidl, you know, something might inspire me there as much as anything artistic, if you know what I mean.
Sure, I get what you mean. I want to ask you a question as well. I mean, it's a controversial question. If you don't want to answer it, it's completely fine. AI is now here. And how do you feel about using AI in the creative industry?
Well, I mean, this is a conversation I've had about the digital age and drum machines and samplers and computers. I think humans, you know, they harnessed fire and water when we left the caves.
Yeah.
We'll always find technology and different ways to make either, you know, medical stuff or cars or transport or buildings and music. So you have to embrace it. You have to embrace it. I mean, I don't know how to use AI.
Sure.
I mean, I work with two bits of wood. I'm a really basic unit, but I'm not fearful of it. I think that, you know, it can be used, I'm sure. But I like the human feel and I'm drawn to that. And I think ultimately humans will see the wheat from the chaff and go for the human side of things.
Yeah,
as opposed to the artificial.
I mean, I definitely agree because it's like every sound, every music that I listen to, it's always been human created. And if you don't have that human feel, it's like it doesn't feel real, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But if you look at like electronic dance music, you look at drum and bass, that's made by kids who, you know, in their flats, you know, in their boxer shorts, programming a computer. I know this is going to upset a lot of people, especially my music friends, but I think they're as relevant a musician as I am because they are making music with what's in front of them. I mean, you can use a violin or a drum kit, or you can use a computer as long as the music's good and it comes from the soul, and it can come from the soul. I mean, because, you know, electronic dance music is brilliant. I don't see anything wrong with it.
Do you feel that it's gotten easier to break into music now than we're in the digital age? Because, I mean, like 20, 30 years ago, there was no such thing as like social media, AI or anything like that. And it was there was always like recording studios and live bands and stuff. Do you feel like it's gotten easier?
Well, I think it's just an entirely different age. I mean, the digital age has just turned everything on its head. So as for easier, I think if you've got a passion to make music, you'll find a way to make music. So that is not hard. It shouldn't be a chore. You should do it. Back in the day, I guess you needed a big machinery around you to get noticed. Even in a punk rock band like the Ants, we had a manager, and then we had a deal. We had a publicity, PR, we had distribution, a bloke in a van driving records to shops, you know, and all that sort of stuff. Now you can do it on your phone,
yeah,
the whole thing, which makes it easier to do, but then there's a lot more people doing it and a lot more mediocre people clogging it up. So swings and roundabouts, isn't it?
Sure. And I mean, for anybody that wants to break into the music industry, what advice would you give?
As for the industry, I'm not very good at industry. That's why I haven't got a pot to wee in, as they say. But as for playing and learning, you've got to love it. It can't be a chore. You can't be down on it. You've got to run to the instrument, the band, the collaborators. You've got to really want to do it. If it becomes a chore, then the public can smell it in your music and your appearance. You know, they're a great judge of artifice. So if you want to get into music, you've got to love it and you've got to sacrifice and give it everything. No more going out and buying flash clothes and stuff. You've just got to, as David Bowie said, I know when to go out, I know when to stay in again, get things done.
Well, thank you so much for that, Dave. And you've got a new project, so it's called Barbarossa Beat, and yes, it's a new collaborative project. So tell us a bit more about that.
It was inspired. I got a call a couple of years ago from John Dwyer, who is the creator, the boss of the OCs, the American band, the OCs, a brilliant band. He flew me to Los Angeles to his place, and we recorded an album called Chime Oblivion. And he really instilled belief into my playing style again, as opposed I was playing for, you know, Roland Gift and these 80s bands, you know, just like a jobbing drummer playing beats. But John Dwyer, you know, because he's such a huge, charismatic, talented guy, he told me to believe in myself again. Well, he instilled that belief in me. And so I came home and I thought to myself, you know, anytime I do anything with those beats and patterns, people come up to me and they're never really interested in the band I'm in. They're just interested in hearing me play that sound that I've got. So I said, right, I might as well just cut out the middleman and do it myself. So, which is what I've done. Barbarossa Beat is with the first track. I don't know if you'll, hopefully you'll play it. Fatty's Lunchbox is with Mekon, a legendary DJ from back in the day. Then I'm doing one with Simon Law from Soul to Soul and other collaborators. And it's a great laugh because it's all drum based. And these guys, these great players and producers, you know, they can hear it and they put their music on it, which is kind of back to front, if you know what I mean.
Sure. And, I mean, you just mentioned Fatty's Lunchbox. So tell us, how long did that take for you to put together? Was it a long process or did it come together quite quickly?
Well, I was asked by this Troxy merch market, the Charlatans guy. He has this thing called Troxy Merch Market, and I did a like a half an hour set with John Gosling, Mekon live, and it really worked. And we said, well, let's go in the studio and put it together. So it's a classic track from the 80s, Fatty's Lunchbox, and I put my kind of beats and Latin swing and flicks on it. And it's, you know, you'll hear it. It's, you know, it's worked out really well.
And when, I mean, when you listen to the song yourself, I mean, was there anything that you would wish that you would love to have added before you released it, or was you happy with what you released?
No, I'm really happy with it. I mean, it is quite unusual, you know, to have a song where the drums are such a big part of it, but that's what I decided to do. So I'm glad it's gone the way it's gone, you know, and it's opened up a whole universe of things for me since then.
And, I mean, how difficult is it to find that sound that you're looking for? I mean, are you still searching for it or have you found what you're looking for?
No, you're always searching, you know, you die searching. It's never good enough. You're never satisfied with your playing. And like you actually answering your earlier question, yeah, I mean, there's always that. But I think that's the artist, you know, that just wants to put a little bit more blue in the sky or, you know, green in the tree. You just never stop, but you have to, because the best artists are the best editors. You've got to know when to say, right, that's it, let's move. Yeah.
So it's already been released. It's been released on June 25th of this year. So how can people get a copy of it? Will there be physical releases or is it all digital at the moment?
It's all digital at the moment, but the record company are thinking about putting stuff out, maybe an EP with a few other things or even an album with some other singles that I'm putting out. I mean, you can get it on Spotify, you can go to Bandcamp, I mean, whatever you want to do. It's all on the regular platforms, you know, on the usual ones.
And, I mean, you just mentioned the album. I don't know if you can tell us, but have you got an estimated release date on the potential album?
No. I mean, it's absolutely in running, as they say. So I've done this one with John, then I'm going to do one with Simon Law, the guy from Soul to Soul, a kind of jazzier thing. And then I'll probably do another one with John and another one with someone else. There's a couple of other people coming in. So I think, you know, if I get a single out every couple of months or whatever, it will slowly build up and then I'll have to, well, we'll have to talk about putting them all on one album, which is really exciting.
And could there be a potential tour in the making as well?
I'd love to tour it. It'd have to be really popular to do it because, I mean, it's a really good thing live. I played the other day opening for the Priscillas, this girl band, punk band in London. And I'm a really good opening act because just to say, you know, come and see Barbarossa Beat, a bloke on a drum kit jamming, it's great. People do love it. But I mean, you know, it's taking a bit of a liberty. I don't know. I'll see how it goes. But I do love playing live and I'll be playing in the north soon. I'll be playing at Kendall Calling, the festival up there soon. And it really works on a live level. But to headline a tour under my own name, I'd feel a bit of a pillock.
Well, watch this space, ladies and gentlemen. I mean,
yeah, you never know.
So, and I mean, how can people follow you? Do you have like social media where people can follow you?
Yeah, yeah. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I'm terrified, but I've been told I got to go on TikTok as well. I'm out there, you know, on those kind of platforms. And, you know, there's loads of drums. I've got a YouTube thing as well. I've got loads of beats and films and stuff like that. And so, yeah, I'm out there like a young man.
And my final question for you, Dave, is what would you like to say to our listeners who is currently listening to this right now?
Well, it's Sheffield. I mean, so many times I've played Sheffield with great bands, The Ants, Bow Wow Wow, Republica, all of that. It's a great city, and she's never blown those towers up, but there you go. Good luck to everyone. Stay healthy, stay cool, and have a listen to Fatty's Lunchbox.
Dave, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
All right, Chris. Cheers, man. Thank you.
And thank you, Chris, for doing that interview. And thank you to Dave Barbarossa for speaking to us and given a great interview for the show. Very interesting to listen to. Always is with musicians. No matter who we get, actually. It could be anybody, but musicians especially. And we play one of his songs from Republica, Ready to Go. Probably their best-selling song, most recognisable. It's a proper wake-up song, because I always hear it in the morning. It gets you out of bed.
Yeah, it's got that energy to it, hasn't it?
It's full of energy.
It is.
It could even work at like midday when, you know, you're halfway through your shift at work, struggling to keep awake, even with coffee or tea, and gets you back into the swing of things.
Yeah.
We had some good news about a certain little venue in Sheffield recently, which has made my day seeing this. The Green Room has reopened after closing supposedly for good at the end of May. And just shy of two and a bit months later, it is back. Now owned by a music college called Waterbear, which Brad is familiar with. Based in Sheffield, but they may have other locations as well. But the one in Sheffield is not too far from the studio, actually. On Air Street, just off Matilda Street. So just that way, past the Rutland Arms pub. And if you, as if you're on your way to the Moor, that direction, it's just there. They're a great little college from what I've read up on. They offer many of many BA Hons degrees and masters for aspiring musicians, or if you want to get into like the anything to do with music, producing, songwriting, performing, it's there. So if you do have a an interest, we're going to try and get some on the show, actually, I think. It'd be a good idea.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And it is great, because we are famous for music, Sheffield, and produce many a good talent. So the next big thing could come out of this college, and also performing at the Green Room.
Possibly.
And it's actually kept its name as well. It's not it's not like the Lead Mill, where it's changed its name. And not identity, really. It's the same building and such. But I'm glad the Green Room has kept its name. So, and it's great that it's reopened. I thought it was gone completely. I just want to visit now to see if it's changed inside, because the last time I visited, the only time I visited actually, was not long before it closed.
Yeah.
About a few weeks before it closed, and you could tell it was in their closing because they were selling off all their stock.
Yeah.
Unknowing the future. It knew it was going to be some sort of bar again, like reopen as a bar, but it's still the Green Room.
It is, yeah.
Same location as well on Division Street. It's not hard to miss. It's only a little thing on the corner, a little building on the corner, but
once you know it's there.
Once you know, if you go past the common room and the forum, you can see it from the left hand side, and not too far from West Street either, just a street or two down.
Yeah, it is.
Which is also quite a music central place as well. That part of town's quite music central.
Yeah, there's a few venues around
there. Hallamshire Hotel and West Street Live too. Not forgetting West Street Live.
I've gigged there as well.
Plenty. And there was a good few gigs at Hallamshire Hotel as well. Not managed to see a gig there just yet. I am aiming to. But yeah, plenty of live music. And Green Room was actually used at Tramline's Fringe just a couple of weeks ago now.
Was
2 weeks already since Tramline's weekend.
Doesn't feel like 2 weeks.
No, it doesn't. That was a great weekend as well. you will get your turn as well, Brad.
Yeah, next year, hopefully.
Next year, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Because you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's tiring, but worth it.
Yeah, definitely.
Glad Tramline's Fringe was used, because it's used around that, because Devonshire Green is not far from where the Green Room is as well. So we had Devonshire Green used many places. Little upcoming bands, possibly the next best thing. And you can say, I saw them first.
Yeah.
You can always say that for the rest. It's like a lifelong brag, saying, I saw them first when they were... Before they were famous.
Yeah.
That's always a great brag, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
You can always just tell your friends, whoever, or if you have any family in the future, say, I saw them.
Yeah.
Before they conquered the world.
Yeah.
I imagine many people's done that for like bands who've shot up in popularity over the years. And, so we're going to move on to the next song. And this is a song by the Rolling Stones.
Okay.
48 years since this song reached number one on the US Billboard Hot 100, which is like the best of the best for music charts. Like UK charts are big, but US Billboard is
bigger.
It's like top of the hill.
Yeah.
For music charts, if you've got to the top of that, say no more. You've conquered it.
Yeah.
And August 5th, just yesterday, 1978. This song by the name of "Miss You," which is a great little catchy song, hit the number one on the US Billboard. And I'm going to play it for you now as a little treat. So here is the Rolling Stones and "Miss You."
I've been sleeping all alone.
That was Miss You by the Rolling Stones, taken from the album Some Girls, released in 1978. And the song was actually inspired by New York, actually.
Oh, really?
They were living in New York at the time, and it was a famous disco scene in the 70s. You might see in old films set in New York, or hear from people who were living there or knew of. And I was got to number one just shy of 2 months after Some Girls was released. So quite a quick climb to the number one spot on the US Billboard. So achievement on its own, really. But it's the Rolling Stones we're talking about. So it's a piece of cake for them, really.
Oh, really talented musicians, aren't they?
They're fantastic. Past and present, from start to the current lineup. That album seems to be doing well, the new one. Fingers crossed at the tour going on, which is rumoured for next year, but there's been no announcements yet. So it's just a rumour mill at the minute, but I'm crossing everything that there is a tour, because I will love to go and see them before it's too late, really. And so next song, because I didn't get to play this last week, as we had a nice conversation about tramlines and hoping for next year's. A certain heavy metal guitarist has a new album coming out.
I completely forgot about this coming out.
It got announced ages ago. It feels like ages ago.
Yeah.
It got around Christmas last year, I think it got announced.
I think I remember now,
And, he's been selling off guitars instead for charity. Which is good anyways. I'm talking about Black Sabbath's Tony Iommi. He has a new album coming out on October 23rd, so just in time for Halloween.
Very fitting, isn't it?
Very fitting. It's not too far away if you think about it. I don't want to overthink about it, because it's scary how fast it's coming along. The new album is titled From the Dark. Do I need to explain why the name? It is an ex-Black Sabbath guitarist who invented heavy metal, basically. I think he was the one. Just from an accident in a factory, and here we are over 50 years later with his new album coming out. He's released a song 2 weeks ago now called World Alone, with the vocals from a Norwegian band called Yawn. I think I'm pronouncing it right, Yawn. Apologies to any of our Norwegian listeners if we have any, if I've pronounced that wrong, but I imagine it is, because the pronounced J's is like Y's with the accent. I think it is called Yawn. Featured as vocalist. He has worked with a few vocalists for this album, but Yawn are the main one. World Alone is the only track released early ahead of the album, so it's the only one we can play. And we're going to play it for you now as a little treat. And apologies we didn't play this the other week again, but we got carried away with the tramlines conversation. But now it's time to play it, and here is Tony Iommi featuring Yawn with World Alone.
You're running to the wall, black shadow rises low.
That was Tony Iommi's World Alone featuring the vocals from, it's called Yearn actually, it's pronounced Yearn.
Yearn.
To just do the accent there yeah. just to clarify. And yes, that was his first single in over 21 years apparently. Doesn't feel like it. It feels like he's done something else since.
Yeah.
But Google says 21 years, so
okay.
we're going to have to trust Google on this yeah. one. As Google is the most trustworthy source we have. It's the only source we have, actually.
At the minute, yeah.
Unless you use other search engines like Yahoo or anything else.
Mm.
But the new album, as I mentioned, October 23rd, save the date. And the music video was kind of epic,
wasn't it?
It was the ending, especially where, to describe it, Iommi's like staring into the camera, just surrounded by black smoke.
Mm.
And
kind of epic looking.
The character in the music video was being chased by the black smoke and had to escape it.
Mm.
And Yearn was on the TV, like singing his heart away.
Mm.
So it was a nice little music. The actual music video is over 7 minutes long, so we had to play the condensed version because we don't have 7 minutes to to listen and watch the video. We've still got 12 minutes left, and we want to make room for a bit more, don't we?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we don't have our iconic intro, outro. Sorry, we didn't have the intro either. So apologies for that again. I can't give you a date when, if and when it will get fixed. But not forgetting, we are on the move at some point before the end of the year. Don't know the date yet, but as soon as we find out, we will let you know, because we'll do a little farewell show to the studio.
Yeah.
Because it's be a big miss.
It will, yeah.
Lewis mentioned the other week we'll miss the view of the old Hallam Student Union with the two footballs on the on one of the roofs, like being held with the barrier bars on top.
Yeah,
we'll miss that. I wonder what our new view is going to be like. Like we're going to have to make a little game out saying spot this or something.
Well, I think from what I've heard, correct me if I'm wrong, where Castle Market used to be, they're building like some sort of park or playground or something there.
We're just gonna have to like watch things like move around.
Yeah.
Or disappear, saying, "Oh, that's gone."
So from what I understand, that's what our view could be. But I could be wrong. So please correct me if I am wrong.
Just for context, the new studio is at the former site of the Tap and Barrel pub.
It is.
Just at the bottom of Castlegate.
It is. Not
too far from Wicker either.
I should have mentioned that when I said that a second ago. Sorry.
It's all right, they know now. And so we'll let you know when we're moving. And there is going to be a bar at the bottom, so that's just a hint. Bit of bribery, low-key bribery to join the show.
Yeah.
If that doesn't get someone joining, I don't know what will.
Mm.
But there's plenty of good moments on this show and a lot more future projects to come.
Yeah.
And sticking with the heavy metal theme, the lead singer of the most like popular heavy metal band in the world, at the minute anyways, James Hetfield's birthday was just a couple of days ago.
It was. 61, 62 is he now?
63. It doesn't feel like it, though.
No.
I can't believe how long Metallica's been going for. I mean, 45 years now.
He's literally my mum's age.
So, just give away your mum's age life on it.
Sorry. My bad. I'm sorry.
You didn't hear that. You didn't hear that, Brad's mum.
I didn't mean that as a insult, by the way.
Just a comparison.
Yeah. I meant it with the best intentions.
Oh, I'm sure you did. But James Hetfield celebrated his 63rd birthday the other day.
Yeah.
And still going strong, coming off the back of a UK tour just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Never gives up and always puts on a show. Always has done since 1981 when they were formed.
Yeah.
And this song actually celebrated 35 years last week, but we didn't have time to play it. So I'm going to play it. Because there's two reasons why, the anniversary and Mr. Hetfield's birthday. So happy belated birthday, James.
Happy birthday to him.
And a very iconic song coming up in just a second called Enter Sandman.
Sun, to include it.
Metallica with Enter Sandman here on Communities Live, and taken from that album, self-titled Metallica, released in 1991.
Yeah.
One of their most successful albums, however, they've had many successful albums. Yeah. I can't give you the figures exactly, but I imagine they're well into the hundreds of millions.
Definitely.
And yeah, just to commemorate the anniversary of Enter Sandman, which is the first track on that album, actually.
Yeah.
As soon as you press play.
Yeah.
And James Hetfield's birthday as the co-founder of Metallica, along with Lars Ulrich.
Ulrich, yeah.
And we are at the end of the show now. It's just the song just finished nicely to talk about, well, the end of the show, which has gone quick again. And we are going to play another Beatles song to end the show from the album Help, because we had two Revolver songs. It's only right we have two Help.
Yeah.
Songs, a nice little short one to finish in just 8 minutes. But thank you for being here, Brad, and it's nice to have you back.
I always enjoy being here,
as always. I'm sure Lewis and Chris also do, and you yourself could enjoy being in the studio with us if you want to volunteer. It probably, if you join within the next couple of weeks, probably the back end of this studio, you get to experience it.
Yeah.
Even if it's just the once, because it's a nice little studio.
It is, yeah.
And we have plenty of space available. Just get in contact via the website. All the contact details will be on there.
Yeah.
Or email our producer, Chris Sinelli, at chrissinelli89@gmail.com. And you might be able to have opportunities like Tramlines or any other music festivals and plenty of interviews. There's plenty to do, believe it or not, in an hour's worth of shows. But we are hoping to do more days too, especially when we move studios. But I am going to end with some Beatles, as I say, and this song is a very difficult song to play.
Okay.
Believe it or not, when I was talking about learning the Beatles in school, when we had to sing Beatles songs, I can't remember the one we actually ended up going with, but it was going to be this song called Yesterday.
Okay.
And my dad was like, "It's a bit of a hard song to play for a 7-year-old."
Yeah.
And I went in, told the teacher, and then the teacher was like, "Oh yeah, it is. We'll change it." Okay. Just as well, otherwise I think I'd struggle singing this and performing it. But it's a great, great song, which has been covered by many of artists. But I'm going to play the original one because it's the greatest of the bunch.
Yeah,
we're going to play the Beatles of Yesterday. Brad, thank you for joining me again, and we will see you next week.
Thank you
all for listening.
Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. I need a place to hide away.